Yeah. It's the O.G to the E podcast number 33. It could be 33. I do not know. I have forget to put like 15 podcasts up. I'm going to put them all up this week as I've recorded so much during the time. It's time, it's Vader time. You see, I've been hitting the bag with some martial art techniques. Thai boxing covered with Wing Chun, covered with Jeet Kune Do, covered with karate and boxing. Just different boxing techniques. I cannot use my leg techniques yet. In wrestling, I know the ins and outs of wrestling, especially pro wrestling. Now, before we lead the samurai things, I'm going to go into a wrestling topic. So, who do you think is the best in-ring performer of all, of all time? Not including this generation of stars. Now, I'm going to do my top 100 wrestlers right now. It's the list. So, everyone's just made the list. Here we go. Here's my top 100 superstars of all time. Stone Cold Steve Austin, number 1. The Rock, number 2. Triple H, number 3. The Undertaker, number 4. Ric Flair, number 5. Shawn Michaels, number 6. Bret the Hitman Hart, number 7. Kurt Angle, number 8. Chris Benoit, number 9. Eddie Guerrero, number 10. Owen Hart, number 11. Number 12. Mr. Perfect. Number 13. I'm trying to think. Number 13. Brock Lesnar. Really, to be honest with you. Number 14. Hard one this. Dusty Rhodes, I'd say number 14. Number 15, I'd say Ricky the Dragon Steamboat. Number 16, I would say Mick Foley. Definitely. Mick Foley. Should be higher up, actually, Mick Foley in my books. But that's number 14, Mick Foley. Number 16. It's got to be, because he has just made my list, Chris Jericho. Number 17. Rey Mysterio. Number 18, the Dynamite Kid. Number 19, Harley Race. Number 20, which will come as a surprise, Rob Van Damn. Number 21 has got to go to Lou Fez. He is the one who made wrestling popular. Then the Von Erichs, the Freebirds. Then the Malenko family. Then probably Terry Funk. Then Raven. Raven with a class act. Then coming straight out of Memphis as a traditional, one of the best traditional wrestlers of all time if you watch his matches, Jerry the King Lawler. As we go on past the 25 mark. You might as well put tag teams in here. I'm not sure. But I'd say Brian Pillman. He has so much personality and such greatness to him. Yeah, definitely Brian Pillman. Then. The Macho Man, Randy Savage. I should have put him a bit more up there. And then, obviously. Well, I'll put. Oh, I forgot one of my favourites. Roddy Piper. Thing is with Roddy Piper is. There wouldn't have been a Hulk Hogan without Roddy Piper. Because Roddy Piper was the perfect villain for Hogan to go against in the 80s. He was just the perfect guy. He is the most entertaining person to come along, cut promos and make people hate him as a heel. In my opinion, and it was the day of baby faces and heels in the mid 80s of wrestling where gimmicks really mattered. Roddy Piper played that gimmick to the fullest. That really gave Hulk Hogan a dance partner. Because if Hulk Hogan didn't have any heels to work against, Hulk Hogan wouldn't have been as big as he was. Now, Hulk Hogan is overrated as far as wrestling goes. As far as what he's done for the business, yeah, he's big. But I'm not really a big fan of Hulk Hogan. Never was. I remember watching the 1992 Royal Rumble. That was my first ever wrestling show. And I wanted Ric Flair to win. He came in at number 3 and I always wanted Ric Flair to win. Superfly Jimmy Snuka. Sergeant Slaughter don't come in. There's so many others. But that kind of rounds out like my favourites. Some of them are not in order, obviously. The top 10 that I said are in order. So let's go into the samurai story. As Hershey is lying on me going to sleep, having a nice little sleep on you, Hershey, after I give you a nice doggy bone and some nice food. I was gonna knock my stepdad out today again after I kill my dad and some other people. He will be next on my list. Made of lead. But let's get to it. These are the really warriors. This is worse than any prison in the world, any Russian prison in the world, anything. These are the true warriors. These didn't do drugs, medication. These lived the hard way, is the traditional samurais from the ancient Japan. So here we go. The commander put up a good fight. One of the Minamoto managed to pull him off his horse, but the Taira commander pinned Minamoto to the sand. As Taira raised his dagger for the kill, another Minamoto rode up and sliced off his arm with the sharp sword. The dying Taira tried to recite his final invocations to Buddha, but an impatient Minamoto samurai slashed off his head straight through the lung pipe with a sharp sword. Down the beach at Akutun Nimori, Nayori's forces were still struggling to break through the Tari barricade, but when the Tari samurais saw smoke and flames rising from the Ichinotani in the distance, they realized they had lost their fallback position. The Ikoton Namoro commander, one of Kimoro's sons, ordered a retreat to the Taira samurai ships waiting offshore. Merlor and his discipline vanished. As the Taira abandoned their positions, the Minamoto horsemen broke through the barricade. Now, on open ground of the beach, the Minamoto samurais could do what they did best, light circles around the enemies and shoot them down. The Iko Nomoro commander, along with his son and the retainer, galloped his stallion towards the rescue boats. A group of Minamoto gave chase and felled the retainer with an arrow to the neck. The commanders of the Taira tribe, son, died. The commander escaped by driving his horse, a magnificent and beautiful black stallion, into the sea. The warhorse swam nearly a mile before reaching one of the Taira samurai ships. There was not enough room on the vessel for the horse, so after the commander was pulled out of the water, the horse was left behind to fend for itself. As the vessel set sail, the stallion swam with its legs. The Japanese horsey swam, following into the wake, as the horse did not want to drown in the Japanese river. Poor horsey, why would you leave a horse where you get on a ship in the sea, you Taira motherfuckers? I hope the Minamotos really kill you, Mabluto, now that you did that to that poor horse. You see, it's very hard for a horse to swim. It's got four legs, it's not got no arms, and it's very hard. It's even easier for dogs to swim because they can doggy paddle, like, we the doggy paddle, you know. So how that horse could have drowned? You put a horse's life at danger. I am very, very besmirched by you do that. The Taira samurai notched an arrow and aimed, saying, he will fall into enemy's hands. I'll kill him. It makes no difference who gets him. The Akutu Nimura commander protested, he saved my life. Don't shoot. Still the horse refused to turn for shore. He continued swimming. The great horsey gradually floating farther and farther behind the Taira ship. At last, the stallion horse gave up and returned to the beach. He made it. He didn't drown. But he stood looking out at the sea. The horsey was dripping and anxious, dying all the while. Several Tiala boats had been left near the water's edge, as scores of samurai scrambled desperately aboard. Three of the heavily overweighted vessels sank. Tiara leaders quickly decided that only the men of quality would be allowed on the ships. Low-ranking samurai who tried to climb aboard by clutching the side of the vessels had their arms slashed off. There was no room on these ships for amateur samurais. You had to be a top-notch samurai of Tiara to get on the ship. And they ended as rows of corpses because they were the weak links of the Tiara's samurais. Reddening blood at the water's edge as thousands of corpses of Jabba samurais covered in blood at the water's edge of Ishinotani. The Minamoto Warrior rode along the beach scouting for a sort of head that would bring him honor and a hefty reward. He spotted Tiara riding through the shallows towards the waiting boat. Oh, I just think I got somebody knocking at the door. I'm going to finish this podcast. I will be back though, so don't worry for part 2 in the samurai thing. Goodbye.